This is a presentation by Hillsborough Elam. Building bigger, working together, reaching further.
Good morning. Good to see you today. We're continuing on our series on transformation. And one of the things that we're really wanting to look at is...
That comes out the bottom there.
One of the things we're really wanting to look at is how we are transformed, and we're spending a good part of the start of the year looking at the idea of transformation and God bringing about changes within our lives, and particularly in the spheres of spiritual, physical, and emotional. And we're believing that we'll see change in our lives as we commit to various things, as we commit to throwing our lives and sowing the right seed into our lives, and we'll see these changes. And so we started last week looking at the whole idea of filling up our spiritual tank. And I see somebody's feeling really spiritual here. Okay, so it's actually overflowing, which is great. We want to get to there. Okay, but again, it's just an idea. Sorry for the folks on this side. Maybe we've been blocked by the flip chart. Part of the idea really is assess yourself. Where are you on this indicator? Where are you at this moment in time? Do you feel like your spiritual tank is full? Do you feel like you're running on empty? Is the indicator light going on that's saying it's really time to stop off somewhere and to fill up a little bit? And so we're looking at ways that we fill up our spiritual tank. And it's really not rocket science. It is spiritual disciplines. And last week we introduced spiritual disciplines, and we talked about them not being something that's a real heavy thing, but actually a joyous thing that we get to pray, we get to worship, we get to read our Bibles, and we're just trying to have practical looks at how we can integrate these things more and more into our lives. So last week, we challenged ourselves on the idea of prayer, and then this week, we're going to challenge ourselves in regards of the most precious book that we could ever own, the Bible. Not the Argos catalog, thought somebody was going to say there. Okay, so it's so precious to us. It's an incredible book. Can I remind you that last week we talked to this idea of training versus trying? It was really funny, actually. I didn't have time to edit the video, otherwise it would have been brilliant to have shown. But on Monday, I seen on Facebook this video, and maybe some of you have seen it. And there was this guy, and he was giving you this self-help talk. And he was saying, if you believe it, you can do anything. And I'm all right, okay. If you believe it, if you just say it, and you believe it strong enough, and you try hard enough, you can do it. I'm going to break a piece of wood over my head, because I believe I can do it. Did anybody see this video? No. I really should have got you and showed you it, but there was one or two words that weren't swear words, but you might not just enjoy it in church, okay, on it. And so I was like, maybe I can't just show that. And I didn't have time to edit them out. So this guy, it looks like plywood. And he lifts this big 8x4 bit of plywood and he goes, boom. And it doesn't break. And boom. And he just believe, just try harder. Boom. And he near knocks himself out until he stumbles away out of the camera, and the person behind the camera is laughing their heads off, right? And it's a really funny thing. And it really was a picture of sometimes how we try to be more godly. We try to, we try to look more like Jesus. We try really hard to not sin. We try really hard to do this and to do that and to do the other thing and to be the best possible Christian. And really sometimes it feels like we're banging our heads up against a brick wall because we're trying, we're trying, we're trying. But actually what we're called to do is to train. We're called to train. And the idea that we used last week was, if you think of an Ironman challenge, which is a massive swim, it's a massive ride on the bike. I can't remember how long it is, but it's massive, and then it's a marathon to finish. Okay, so something like 26 miles. Wow, how on earth would you ever do that? But if somebody was to come along and to say to you, you have the physiological ability to be able to be an Ironman athlete, you've got the lung capacity, you've got the right sort of muscle fibers and all things going on within your body, you could become an amazing athlete. You could become an Olympic athlete. You have the potential. But if all you've done is sat on a couch for 5 years, no matter how hard you try, you're not going to get up to a good time. Okay, you're not going to finish the Ironman challenge, right? You might finish a marathon if you walk it, but you're not going to get a good time, no matter how hard you try. But if you train, and you train, and you train, and you train, then you get yourself to a place where you can do well. Does that make sense? And so spiritual disciplines are us training. We are giving ourselves, and Paul talks about not being one who aimlessly beats the air, but he beats his body into submission so that he can receive the prize. So that, and he uses that illustration of those who train for the race. And we train towards godliness. And so the more and more that we submit ourselves and enter into and sow good spiritual activities within our lives, then we will be changed and we will grow. And we're really excited about that as we look into the future. And last week we looked at this idea of the prayer being the start button, the power on our lives. And today we're going to look at another button, and it's the stop button. Whenever it comes to the Word of God, the stop button. Do you know that square button that you just hit to stop something? I mean, guys, life seems busier and busier, doesn't it? It's just frantic. It's just nonstop. I think every person I meet, how you doing? I'm just so busy. Now, sometimes it's a bit of a pride thing in our country and our culture. So busy, I've hardly time to bless myself. And we're proud of that fact. I'm not sure we should be all the time. We're so busy, and I'm not stealing, and we're going to talk about the whole idea of Sabbath at some stage. I'm not stealing that, but I just find at times in my own life, I end up so busy, and the soundtrack of my life is noise. Do you get, you know, it's TV, it's rushing here, rushing there, the phone ringing, this going on, that going on, the other thing going on, running kids to here, running kids to there. You know, if you're a parent, you know, you might as well get the taxi sign on top of your car. And, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing the other thing. We're rushing here and rushing there. And the soundtrack of your life never seems to be quietness, never seems to stop until you eventually fall asleep. And if you've got babies, the soundtrack goes on during the night. No? But that can be what it's like so often. It's just so often things constantly on the go. But we need to discipline ourselves to stop in order that we might hear God speaking into our lives. The soundtrack to our lives is noisy, clamor, and distraction. There's always something playing. There's always something going on. Well, my challenge to all of us is to learn to stop. To stop, hit the stop button now and again, to stop and listen for the voice of God. So this morning, we're going to look at ways that we can open up the Bible and hear God's voice. Let me just do a little side note. Because whenever we talk about reading the Bible, it's already gone very quiet in here, okay? It goes quiet whenever you talk about prayer and reading the Bible because we instantly feel guilty, right? We feel, I don't read it enough. I don't pray enough. Right, but we need to turn that around, guys. We need to not have this sense of guilt that whenever we lift this book, this precious word of God, that we're not going, oh man, oh, I'm going to get it in the neck this morning that I didn't read enough this week. Right, we should actually just come with this with excitement. God's going to speak this morning. I woke up with a real excitement going, some people are literally going to hear the word of God this morning for themselves. All right. Right, that's a good thing, and you'll be excited by the end of it, I hope and pray. Okay, it's not this thing that we have to read my Bible, have to pray. We get to read our Bibles. We get to pray. It's a privilege. It's amazing that we get to whenever we talk about finding your chair, that we talked about last week and we showed that video clip, finding your chair, finding a place where you get to commune with God, we get to do that. That's an immense, awesome, wonderful privilege. We get to talk to God and he gets to talk to us. It's incredible. The creator of the whole universe gets to speak to us and we get to speak to him. We get to spend time in his presence. We get to hear him through the words that are written in this book. It's so exciting. And I just want to stop and actually put a prayer, a very short one-line prayer in my notes. And I want us just to stop and ask God to make us excited about his word again. To give us a hunger and a desire and a passion for his word. Can we just stop for a moment and do that? So Father, we pray today that you would give us a hunger, a passion, a desire, and an excitement about the adventure of reading and discovering what you're saying in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to Psalm 1, please. Psalm 1. says this: blessed is the man or the woman, the person, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law, or in God's word of the Lord. And on this law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Just think, that's an incredible promise for us to remember. That those of us who plant ourselves in the Word of God, that it's like a river that flows through our lives and we will bear fruit. Our leaves will not wither in or out of season, and we will prosper in the land that God has planted us in. That's incredible truth for us to remember and a promise. God's word brings transformation into our lives. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. That just reminds us, and it's familiar to us all. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so when we're reading the Word of God, we're allowing his culture, his heart, his desire, his personality, his affection, everything that he is, we're allowing that to flow into our hearts, into our lives, and into our minds, which brings transformation. Reading his word brings transformation into our lives. Paul, in a further scripture in Colossians 3:16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Let God's word dwell in us richly. To let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And it's notes from a previous message I'd done on Colossians where I was looking at this. And I just wrote these notes. To let the word of Christ dwell in you richly is to let it have ample room or remain as a rich treasure in the heart. Thus we are to submit to the demands of the Christian message and let it become so deeply implanted within us as to control our thinking. We are to allow ourselves to become saturated with the words of Christ and his teaching so much that we are dripping with its truth and understanding. The implication is that we are to know his words, read, study, and meditate on them. The influence of God's word should override every other influence that may be vying for our attention in our lives. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we're going to be really practical this morning and look at ways that we can get the most out of God's word within our lives. I have 3 points for us this morning. Number one, establish a reading rhythm. Establish a reading rhythm within our lives. When and where are we going to read our Bibles? When and where? Do you remember those of you, and I think it was really encouraging that I spent all the time preparing a message and then I showed a DVD. People said, you know, that DVD really touched my heart. Like, that was the thing that really grabbed me last week. So, thank you. But it's really powerful, this idea of finding your chair, finding the place where you can connect with God. Have you decided where that is? When and where can you hit the stop button and spend some time with God? Where can you shut out the distractions? Guys, I'm so aware that some of us have incredibly busy lives. Incredibly, lives that are just full from start to end. And sometimes you're thinking, you're looking for me to find space in there to stop. To hold off. And then sometimes those of you who have young families and you go to stop and then, mommy, daddy, you know, and it's like, when do I get a chance to do this? When and where can you hit the stop button and spend some time with God? A place and a time where you're able to shut out the distractions. What's the best time for you? And I'll put it like that. What is the best time for you? Some people are morning people. They're really wide awake. Some people have said to me, Oscar, I can't do Bible study in the morning. I'm not tired. I'm falling asleep during reading it. Have you ever done that? You know, you're up so early and, you know, it's And it's not that that's, it's just you're so tired and you're not awake and you haven't had your coffee in the morning. Looking at Stephen there, Stephen, you can fairly notice the difference whether Stephen's had his coffee in the morning or not, you know. But sometimes the morning for some people isn't the best time. Some of you get up and you're starting work at 6 o'clock. So you want me to get up at 4, Alistair? You know, when can you? But it's up to you. Decide when. I remember reading a book by Jack Hayford on spiritual disciplines. And Jack Hayford's a Pentecostal preacher over in California. And he actually said his best time, his most alert time, was just before he went to bed. And so he decided that he would have a no lights out policy for his life, that he wouldn't switch the light out until he had read and meditated and thought on God's word. That was whenever he did his own personal connecting with God. Some of you might find other times within the day, might be lunchtime, it might be a break time, it might be some other occasion, some other time that you can get aside with God and with his word and spend some time with you. The psalmist, obviously, he says early in the morning, and for a lot of people, that's going to be the best time. But the first principle that I want us in this idea of giving God this, and walking in this reading rhythm, is giving God our best. Just putting that up there just to remind us. Give God our best time. Not the scraps of the day. Not the time of day that we're useless to him and we're useless to everybody else, so might as well give it to God. Give God a time whenever you're aware and you're functioning and you're available. Be intentional. Be intentional about your time and your rhythm with God. Make an appointment with God. Tell others not to disturb you. So one of the things we do in our house at times is that I'll go, guys, I'm going into the room. Please don't disturb me for a while. I'll be out soon. Don't know whether they think I'm in there sleeping or what I'm doing. But tell somebody, I'm away to spend some time with God. I'm away to hit the stop button. And maybe that can be language that you understand. And you say, yep, way to hit the stop button. And that you be intentional about making space and making time with God. Prioritize this rhythm. Okay, so make it a priority. Make it a priority, spending time with God. Matthew 4, verse 4 says this, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And if you think of the priority that we give to eating meals, that we give to feeding our physical body, then the bread of God, the word of God, the word that sustains us spiritually, we need to prioritize that within our lives and prioritize a rhythm within our lives and make space for it. Okay, now I'm going to say something that's quite controversial. So if you don't like controversy, switch your brain off and everybody just gets nervous. So the reason I like the word rhythm over routine, I'm just going to hide down here a wee bit. But the reason I like the word rhythm over routine is that there may be days that you're able to give more time in those days than in other days. There may be a rhythm within your week that for me to say to you, right, I demand that you spend an hour with God every single day. And I demand that you get a routine of 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 20, whatever it might be, and you have to do it. Now, I don't know about you, what happens to me with routine is if I miss it, I drop it. If I break the routine and find a routine to keep, I end up just scrubbing it. And routine is very difficult at times because routine doesn't always work, but rhythm can. We can find a rhythm of life, a sway of life, a movement of life when we know, well, on that day I know of more time, so I can spend more time. On that day I have more time. I'm not saying there's days that you just go, no, I'm just going to ignore God today. Please get me, hear me on that. But there's going to be a rhythm that we can find within our lives. Okay. Shoot the pastor. Establishing a rhythm allows us to move with the ebbs and flows of life. See, when we break the routine, then we just feel guilty and we're coming back to it out of guilt. How many times whenever you come back to your quiet time, how much of it's spent going, Lord, I'm really sorry that I missed yesterday. Lord, I'm really sorry that, you know, da-da-da-da. And we're so driven as Christians by guilt. And how much is that making God's word, his grace, and his love ineffective within our lives? Finding a rhythm. Because there's going to be a day whenever you can spend a bit more time. And that day is going to be so much more valuable than maybe 15 minutes every time. Oh, I can only get 15 minutes. Because you're thinking of your busiest day. Does that make sense? Find a rhythm. Find a rhythm of life. So it might be that on a Monday, some of you guys and your kids, for example, or some of them, they're out at nursery and they're out, everybody's out on a Monday, and you go, see that Monday, see from that time to that time, that's my time with God. I don't get exactly the same time on a Tuesday because this happens or that happens, but I get that time on a Wednesday. And I get that time maybe on a Saturday, or I get, do you know what I mean? And then sometimes you feel guilty about a Saturday because, dad's out and he's out first thing in the morning because the son's out playing football and, you know, you're spending time with this thing and you're doing this and you're doing that. And your rhythm, your routine is different. So we need to find a rhythm where we connect with God. Okay. Yeah? Okay. Hopefully you hear my heart on that. Establish a reading rhythm. Give it your best. Be intentional. Make it a priority. Priority. I don't know where that accent came from. Number two, establish a reading strategy. So once you've decided on the rhythm, well, then you've got to decide on what way you're going to get God's word into you. What's your strategy going to be? First thing I would like to say is this, and this probably sometimes has been a bit of a bee in my bonnet, but I would want to say to you, read the word. Okay, read the word. That, or if it's in that, or wherever it is, read the word. Why am I saying that? Because there's a lot of devotional tools out available today which are amazing, they're brilliant, but they're extras. We have to learn to go to the cupboard for ourselves. We have to learn to get into this because God has specific things to say into our lives. God has things that he wants to reveal to you on particular moments and particular days. And so word for today, brilliant, absolutely amazing. Have it about, and there's going to be times it encourages you. It's going to be time you're going to lift it up on the date, and it's just going to speak right into your life. It's going to be amazing. But if that's your daily bread, that's not enough. Does that make sense? We need to get the word into us. Read the word. Make sure it's God's word that we're reading. And I'm all into study Bibles, but I actually got frustrated at one stage. I used to always have a study Bible, excuse me, that had sort of half of it with somebody else's notes. And I found I spent more time reading the other person's notes than I was reading the Bible. And I got away from a study Bible for a while because I wanted to read God's word. I wanted to wrestle with it for myself. I wanted to go, do you know what? I don't understand that. But I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to think about what that means for me. So read the word. Read the word. All those other things are amazing. I'm definitely not giving them a hard time. But make sure they supplement. They supplement your reading of God's word. Read the word. Hosea 4, chapter 6 says this, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Another translation is the same, for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed because they don't know me. We get to know Jesus personally through his word. We get to know him through his word. And that's really, really important for us. Hopefully I've driven that home enough. I mean, I hear people quoting, Lord, as your word says, and I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure that's a pop song. Anybody ever heard, right? Lord, as your word says, and I'm thinking, pretty sure Graham Kendrick wrote that. Right? And I've heard that so many times. Now you're scared to pray out in public, aren't you? We better go and check it. But we want to know what God's word says for us. This is life and breath, bread to us. Amen? So read the word. Decide on a reading plan. Guys, this is so practical. Some of you are thinking, seriously, I turned up for this, drove through the snow. But I'm really praying this helps some of you today. Decide on a reading plan. Be realistic. It's the first thing I want to say. Do you remember we did the 90-day challenge? Right? Hands up, I didn't finish it. I got about 3 days behind and thought, oh my rip, I'm going to have to read all day. Okay, sometimes we're really ambitious. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read 10 chapters a day. I'm going to read 15 chapters a day. And you can do it for the first couple of days, and then you fall off the wagon, so to speak. Be realistic about what you can read. Be realistic about how much time you're going to spend. Be realistic. Don't be legalistic. And don't be legalistic. So if something happens that you missed one day, don't get so caught up about it. Don't allow that to be your pattern where you're always missing. But don't get caught up about it. God's not angry, okay? God's just looking for opportunities to speak into your lives. So don't get legalistic about it. Don't get so caught up about, oh, I missed yesterday, that makes me a bad Christian. Can I tell you, the person that read their Bible every single day this week and the person that didn't lift it at all, we still could boldly approach the throne of grace this morning. Every single one of us. But the person that read it came in well fed and prepared. So there was a difference, but not in terms of how you come to God. Hear where I'm coming from? Okay. Don't be legalistic about it. And you know, keep going. Keep going. So one of the things I've started this year is, I'd recommend it to some of you, is reading through the Bible in a year. So Nicky Gummel's Bible in 1 Year program. And it's really good because you have readings from the Old Testament, then Psalms and Proverbs, and then the New Testament. It really breaks it up brilliantly. But here's the thing. If you don't get through it in a year, if you don't get through it in a year and you've missed a few times and you've missed it, even if it takes a year and a half, well, here's some good news. You've read through the Bible. If it takes you 2 years, some good news. You've done a lot more than a lot of other Christians. Not that it's a competition, but well done. So I'm trying to free. I'm not trying to make this as if it doesn't matter. Please don't that word up there, priority. But what I am saying, I'm trying to be realistic over our lives, guys. Keep going. Keep at it. If you miss a day, pick it up the next day. Be flexible. Because God actually might want to, you might be in the middle of a reading plan, and you might just feel stirred to go and read a different book of the Bible. Be flexible to go and read it, because God might really have something to say to you in the middle of that, and then come back to your normal reading plan. Listen to God and be flexible. He might want to show you something different. Number three, and this is where audience participation comes in. Okay? You're like, oh no. Third point is this. Establish reading and reflection. Establish reading and reflection. Again, Psalm 1. We're told there that the one who meditates day and night on God's word is the one. The one who allows that word to become part of them. The one who allows God's word to soak into their lives. The idea is reflection, not just reading and sort of getting through it, but chewing it over. Within our rhythm of reading, we should put in time for reflection. This can be done in many different ways, so I'm going to suggest two. Firstly, journaling. Does anybody already journal? A few people? Yeah. So journaling is something that's really helpful. And whenever we're journaling through God's word, now I'm not talking about Dear Diary stuff, okay? You know, anybody ever try to keep a diary? Dear Diary, today I woke up and had Weetabix. You know, you're thinking, what? Okay. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting into God's word. And so say we're going through a book of the Bible, and let's pick... by random, it's not really by random and being on purpose, the Gospel of John. And so we start to read. Now what I tend to do whenever I'm journaling, because you can't read like 10 chapters and then try to journal on what you've just read, I read a section. I read a section of where I'm going, and then I use a little acrostic. And some of you may well use this acrostic, and it's from the word soap. And if you need to remember, in Ephesians chapter 5, we're talked about the fact that we as the bride of Christ are cleansed by the washing of the word. Soap. Okay, so soap. So what do we do whenever we're journaling is, here's just an idea. You come to your scripture and you pick your scripture. That's what I'm reading. You observe. What is it saying? Right? Now you don't have to be overly... brilliant, you're not looking, just what's it saying? What am I noticing that it's saying? What are the things that are jumping out at me? What's the basic kind of premise and idea? And let me just, in regards of this, because sometimes, you know, especially if you're not overly au fait with God's word, you maybe haven't read it through, you're a young Christian, and you sometimes read it and go, I just don't understand some of that. I want to encourage you today to just keep going. Because what happens is, see, whenever you read it once, you build a layer of understanding and knowledge. And the next time you come to read that portion of Scripture, you've gained a layer of understanding that you can build upon. And you get something else. And you'll understand something else that's written within it. And you go, ah. I understand that now. So glean what you can glean at this moment in time. Don't expect to be able to glean what Bill can glean from God's Word because he spent time at Bible college. He finished the 90-day challenge. There's... Thank you, Jesus. there's so many other... So don't expect and don't compare to other people. Just get that level, that layer of understanding. The next time you come to it, because you've read other parts of the Bible, it's going to make sense as it all interlinks and connects with, and you're going to remember, oh, I read something else that said something about that. So I'm going to steal an example from later on, so I'll not do that. Observe. Now, here's the big thing that a lot of us forget to do. Apply. How does this apply to me? I'm praying, God, what I've just read, how does this apply to me? How does this make a difference to my life? Because God's Word's got to get into us and live through us. So how do I just live this out? And remember again, John 13:17. Blessed is he, now that he knows this, that he does it. That we just don't know stuff, that we do it. Many people say that Christians are educated well beyond their obedience. And so we want to come to a stage where we're hearing God's word and we're applying it, we're living it out. And finally, then pray that through. Dead simple. But it's a great way to reflect on what God's word is saying to us. So, we're going to do that now. Okay, together. I love seeing your faces, it's awesome. Right, so turn to John chapter 1. And, okay, young people from Kingdom Kids and everything, I do encourage you, open this up because God can speak to you guys too. Okay, so... And submerge and everybody. Open up John chapter 1. Okay. Now what I'm going to do is, I'm going to read the first 18 verses. Okay, because that's a section. And then what I want you to do is, normally obviously we'll do this at home on our own. But I want you to just chat to a few people around you after we read this through with that open. And I want you to pick out one thing. One thing that just shines out to you. One thing, just observe it. So that's what we're going to do. We've picked our scripture. Now what we're going to do is observe. Okay, so I want you to pick one thing out. Observe one thing and have a wee bit of a chat about what you think it means. Okay, is that all right? Okay, so I'm going to read it for you and you follow along. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." So spend a wee bit of time, guys. Pick one thing, okay? So if you were journaling, there's probably loads of things in that passage, and that's why I've chosen it. pick one thing with the people that are around about you, or if you just feel comfortable doing it on your own, that's fine. Pick one thing, observe it. What's it saying? Okay, guys, whenever I read that, and this is a journal from 2008, and I just wanted to lift it and have a read back at it and just see, well, what did I get out of that passage of Scripture? And again, not big theology bits, not big, oh, I'm trying to, but just some things that really just touched my life where I was at the time. And it just, like for me, I just wrote, the passage is about the revelation of God on earth in this time. The revelation was testified to by John the Baptist, who pointed to Jesus as the Son of God, who in turn revealed God the Father. Jesus is the Word. So that really, bang, wow, the Word. In Revelation, we learn that he is the Alpha and Omega. In other words, he is the first and last word. So the Alpha and Omega, obviously, remember talk about layers of understanding. Obviously, you know, I know Alpha and Omega. It's the first letter, the last letter of an alphabet. Jesus hems everything in. So he's the first and the last word. He's the eternal one. And as the eternal one, he came in the form of a baby. And so that's me just writing on. But this idea that he, and I talk about how he, like he breathed the air we breathe. He walked on the ground that we've walked on. He's smelt and touched and been in the same environment that you and I have been. And that really just blew me away, this eternal God that came down into that. And then if I flick over to where I wrote Revelation, or sorry, application. Where did I apply that? Yeah, just this idea of he's been in my shoes. He knows. And Jesus has the first and the last word on my life, my situation, my future, so I can trust him. He's the Word. First word, the last word, I can trust him because he speaks his words and he's got the last word over everything that I'll ever go through. Not awesome? Not really encouraged me. So that's, there's so many other things in there that we could have lifted on. That's one way that we can reflect. The second way that we reflect is and through meditating. Okay, now this isn't, you don't need to put on funny candles. And sometimes the world's view of meditating is that you empty your mind. Meditating on God's word is the opposite of that you fill your mind with God's word. And so just for the last couple of minutes, and our time is gone, but for the last couple of minutes, I want us to meditate on a word, on a verse of Scripture. And so whenever we're meditating, we don't necessarily take a massive section of Scripture, but we take a verse and we give God time to think about it. If we can worry, we can meditate. Hands up if you can worry. Okay. If you can worry, you can meditate. Worry is when we mull over, chew over our problems. We think of every outcome, every avenue, every circumstance, every worst thing that could ever happen, and we can become consumed by it. Well, meditation is the opposite of that, but on the Word. It's on the Word of God. That we look at it from every angle, that we allow it to penetrate deep within our hearts, and that we soak in its very depths, in the very depths of our being. It's mulling over the things of God and to ponder deeply. John Ortberg, in one of his books on spiritual disciplines, he says, folks, the idea is not to get through the Scriptures, it's to get the Scriptures through us. Okay, so it's not just trying to get from the beginning to the end and go, I've read the Bible. It's actually going, but how much of the Bible is in you? How much of it is saturated in us?